Sometimes you have to navigate yourself out of the challenges. God will always send help. Now, I've had many people say, if God sent you, the road will be free and through all the way. No. You will come across situations where you will find yourself wandering. Everybody say wandering. Wandering. Wandering is also an exegetic of times of confusion, times when you say, did God speak? Times when you're almost saying that I don't think I heard from God. Times when you're almost taking a U-turn and go back to Jacob, your father, who sent you on that errand. But if God sent you on that errand, he will send help. For every confused state, for every challenge, for every turbulent situation, which you will come through in the process of running that errand, now a certain man. Till now, the Bible does not tell us who that man is. Until we get to God's kingdom, you discover that some of the times when the Bible says a certain man, it could have been an angel. A man found him. He was wandering in the field. And the man asked him, saying, who are you seeking? What are you seeking? So he said, I'm seeking my brothers. Please tell me where they are feeding their flocks. And the man said, they have departed from here. For I heard them say, let us go to Dothan. God will not leave you helpless. In the name of Jesus Christ. You will not be stranded. In this assignment, you will not be stranded. In the mighty name of Jesus. So Joseph went after his brothers and found them in Dothan. That was angelic visitation, angelic direction. Now let's move on. They saw him from afar. Even before he came near them, they conspired against him to kill him. Then they said to one another, look, this dreamer is coming. Come therefore, let us now kill him. That's the second time the word kill comes up here. So it wasn't a slip of tongue. It was actually planned. And cast him into some pit, and we shall see. So wild beasts has devoured him. We shall see what will become of his dreams. Of his dreams. Somebody say dreams. The attack here is on the dream. What's your dream? The attack is not more on you than is more on the level you are going to. The enemy is fighting hard. Now, I'm about to tell you the fourth checkpost will be attacks within before attacks without. This checkpost is divided into two sub-posts. The checkpost called attacks. Somebody say attacks. Yes, nobody is inoculated from attacks. Sorry that I'm giving you bad news. Nobody. Even Jesus was attacked. The enemy, the Pharisees, as soon as he announced, do you realize when you get back home, we don't have time. In Luke chapter 4, after he announced his, what do you call that? Is it manifesto, we call it? Huh? His manifesto. His mission. Shortly after he announced, sir, in Luke chapter 4, when he said, the Spirit of the Lord God is upon me, Luke 4:18, he has anointed me to preach the gospel to the poor. He has sent me to heal the brokenhearted, to preach deliverance to the captives, to the recovery of sight to the blind, and to proclaim the acceptable year of the Lord and the year of vengeance. And when he had finished reading, he closed the book. Is that right? And gave it back. Where was he reading? Where was he reading from? Where was he? It was in the synagogue. It was a synagogue with brethren. Now, as soon as he read his mission, his assignment, his destiny, another way of saying it is, ladies and gentlemen, this is my assignment in life. This is the purpose for which I was sent. He closed the book and gave it back. Watch this. The eyes of all those who were in the synagogue was fixed on him. Now, let me tell you this. The eyes of those who were fixed on him, they were good eyes and bad eyes. For the first time, eyes were fixed on him, both good and bad. Yeah? This is your assignment in life. Assignment in life. Attack started immediately. Look at verse 27 and 28. Let me show you the attack. 27 and 28 of the same. Many lepers were in Israel. He was still speaking in the temple, in the synagogue. Many lepers were in Israel at the time of Elisha, the prophet, and none of them was cleansed except Naaman the Syrian. Verse 28 now. So all those where? No. I thought it would have been all those outside of the synagogue. I thought it would have been witches and wizards. All those in the synagogue, when they had these things, were filled with what? Wrath. When they had, after he read his assignment. What does next verse say? Watch this. And they rose up and carried him out of the city. I don't know where they put him, whether on the shoulder or they guided. And they took him to the brow of the hill on which their city was built, that they might throw him down. You need to understand. You need to pause and look, give it a think. They carried the Son of God who had just finished announcing his mission. The devil was not after him, as it were, but after his dreams. As soon as he read it out. Now, don't forget, as his custom was, he had been coming there every time. He would read and read and read. They didn't do anything. But the day he read out his vision, his dreams, attack started from within. They carried him. They were actually going to throw him down. But for God. That's the next thing I'm about to tell you. The Lord God of heaven will preserve your dreams. In the name of Jesus Christ. He will not allow the enemies within and without to tamper with your dreams, to tamper with your vision, in the mighty name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth. He'll preserve your dreams. He preserved Joseph's dream. Joseph got to the next level of his call, his life. You will get there. But don't forget, he must have the tunic, the coat of many colors, the dreams, your vision. You must yield yourself to run what? Kingdom errands. Then the next checkpost will be attacks. It's part of the package. It's part of the what? It's part of the package. If you circumvent it, you will still come back to it. It's here. The next verse tells us mysteriously, passing through the midst of them, he went his way. You will pass through their midst. You will escape. You will go your way in the name of Jesus. You will pass through their midst. You will escape. You will go your way. Can I hear a vibrating amen? In the name of Jesus. Pastor Carl, you will pass through the midst of them. You will escape. You will fulfill your destiny. You will go your way. You will establish your destiny. In the mighty name of Jesus. And I believe that for Wisdom Assembly, you guys will fulfill your destiny. Your mission to this city shall be accomplished. In the mighty name of Jesus. It doesn't matter the attack within and without. You will fulfill your destiny. In the mighty name of Jesus. Lift your hands and shout hallelujah. Leporiba shakatala baba baba. Enemies, so attacks. So under attacks, enemy within and enemy without. But who strikes first, within or without? Within strikes first. Sir, I don't know whether you have observed. Have you noticed that after your dreams are outlined and your vision, the first attack comes from within? Excuse me, I'm sorry to say this without prejudice. Within. were within synagogue. Church people. Church guys. Church politics. Intrigues. Yeah. Brethren. Within. Within. Before Mrs. Potiphar showed up, who were the first attackers of his dream? His brethren. Synagogue. Usually they are the first before the external shows up. Synagogue. Before David started fighting Philistines, who were the first enemies? His brothers. Say, go back. Yeah, Poknosa. What did you come to do? Who did you leave the cattle and the sheep with? David said, calm down. Is there any problem? Is there not a reason? Is there not a cause? He refused to be deterred. In the name of Jesus, God of heaven will give you spiritual push. He will give you fire. Someone say, fire! Let me finish up in a few minutes and then we'll begin to pray. They conspired against him to kill him. Verse 19 tells us. Verse 20 says, look at this dreamer. They were actually after the dream. Verse 20, come therefore, let us kill him. We'll see what will become of his dreams. You see, dream, 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 dream. The word dream and dreams appeared more there than any other thing. 21. Let's read the first sentence, the first four words in verse 21. Let's read it together. One, two, go. But Reuben heard it. One, two, go. One, two, go. Say, oh God, raise Reuben's for me. In the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth. That's a powerful prayer we just prayed now. God, raise Rubens for me. Do you remember when some Jewish guys vowed to kill Paul? And they took an oath that unless Paul dies, they will not eat. They will not shave. So they were planning to kill him when someone had it. You remember who had it? Paul's nephew had it. The son of Paul's sister. He had it. Somebody say he had it. I can show you so many places in the scripture where God will allow someone to hear evil plans concerning them. God raised Reuben for you. And Reuben had it. Information you need in life to avert danger, to avert evil in your family. May God give you such information in the name of Jesus Christ. May you not be starved of necessary, important information for your destiny in the name of Jesus Christ. Very important. And Reuben had it. That's it. Reuben had it. You see, that word, Reuben had it, you will now come to appreciate the fact that Reuben had it. Now let's read it. And he delivered him out of their hands. Now, what was your original purpose? To kill him. Thank you, sir. Except that Reuben had it, they would have what? They would have killed him. Reuben had it. It was Reuben who said, all right, let's reach a balance. Let's not kill him. Okay, put him in this pit to punish him. He commuted his death sentence to a few hours imprisonment. Reuben had it. I can do a message on that topic. Reuben had it. Once again, lift your hands to heaven. Say, Father, in the name of Jesus, raise Rubens for me. In Jesus' name. And everybody said, amen. So, I've mentioned four posts. The number one post is the Holy Spirit, coat of many colors. Number two is what? Huh? Dreams. Number three, kingdom errands. Number four, attacks will come. Expect these are posts you pass through on your journey to next level. And then number five, I call them deliverers. Deliverers. Rubens. In quote, in bracket, Rubens. I would say Rubens. People that God will raise. As they are speaking in the committee, they want to crucify you in that committee. They set a panel in that committee. And 19 of them are saying, crucify him, crucify him. God will raise one out of the 20. Who will say, brethren, take it easy. This thing we want to do is not the best way to do it. And that one person will be instrumental and calm down the rest. Did you see that happen in Acts chapter 4 and 5? When they gathered to execute the apostles, and one man called Gamaliel, he rose among them and said, ladies and gentlemen, calm down. Let's watch the evil we're about to do to these boys. If it be of God, it will stand. If it's not of God, it will not stand. Please, let's be careful. Less happily we find ourselves fighting God. And the Bible says, at those words of Gamaliel, one man among hundreds of killers. And they said, wait a moment. Okay, let's listen to him. I prophesy one more time. May God raise Rubens for you. In the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth. And Reuben had it. So deliverer or deliverance. Let me use the word deliverance or deliverer. So Reuben in this context represents deliverance. How do I know? In the book of Genesis 19, let's be quick. I have just a few minutes left to pray. Let's be quick. Are you getting blessed here? All right. In Genesis 49, I beg your pardon. Genesis chapter 49, I meant to say, in verse number 2 and 3, when Jacob was about to bless his children, he began with who? Reuben. He says, Reuben, thou art my firstborn. Reuben, you are my firstborn. My might and the beginning of my strength. Everybody say strength. Now look at this. Reuben, in that context, represents might. Represents strength. Number three, represents what? Excellency of dignity. And represents what again? Power. That's what Reuben represents. Anytime I say, may God send Reuben to you, I'm indirectly saying God will send you might. God will send you strength. God will send you power. God will send you dignity. So every time I mention Reuben, in this context, the exegetic translation of the word Reuben means these four things. Again, I pray, may God raise Rubens for you. In the name of Jesus. People who are influential, people of dignity, people that when they speak over a situation, every other person will calm down. God will raise Rubens for you. He will raise Rubens for you. Rubens are people in a man's life that God raises for them. Even if 1,000 people come against you, one Reuben can quell the violence of 1,000 people. Therefore, I decree, may God raise Rubens for you in the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth. So it means deliverer or deliverance. The fellow who carries dignity, who carries power, who carries might, who carries strength. In everybody's life, God raises Rubens. Your Reuben could be your mentor, a spiritual father. God raises Reuben in everybody's life. Rubens that will be, that God will use them to pacify raging storms. Rubens. In our journey to the next level, may God raise Rubens for us. Verse 22. And Reuben said to them, shed no blood. Cast him into this pit, which is in the wilderness. Don't lay hand on him that he might do what? Deliver him out of their hands. Deliverer. and bring him back to his what? Father. So it came to pass when Joseph had come to his brothers that they stripped Joseph of his tunic, the tunic of many colors that was on him. They stripped him. The enemy wants to rob you of the presence of the Holy Spirit. Their plan is to, they know, now they know, listen, they try to attack where the dream started from. The dream started when the coat of many colors was given to me. Am I right? The Holy Ghost is the one who birthed the dream, who birthed your vision. So the attack goes, they will attack you in such a way that they want you to lose relationship with the Holy Spirit. Your prayer life, your worship life, the word. Every attack on your spiritual life is an attack on your dream. It's an attack on your future, your destiny. They want to strip you of your relationship with the Holy Spirit. They will employ adultery. They will employ sin. They will employ everything to strip you of your relationship with the Holy Spirit. But in this contest, even though they took the coat of many colors, they couldn't take the spiritual part of it. They took the physical, but they couldn't take the spiritual. The enemy will not get you in the mighty name of Jesus. Now, let's quickly conclude. They cast him into a pit. Yes, verse 25. They sat down to do what? To eat a meal. Then they lifted their eyes. Wait a moment. You put your brother in a pit and they could eat a meal. Now, if you truly have the Spirit of God, will that food go down? Will you enjoy such a meal? Wickedness of the highest order. They sat to eat a meal. Verse 25 says, they saw Ishmaelites coming. Verse 26 says, so Judah said to his brothers. It was a Judah. What's the meaning of the word Judah? Praise. The next checkpost, I've talked about the fact that attack will come. And then I've talked about another checkpost called deliverers, Rubens, that God will raise. The next checkpost is Judah. What does it mean of the word Judah? Praise. Is this message complicated? Very simple. Very easy. Write down these points. Praise. In the midst of all these happenings, resort to what? Praise. Resort to worship. Praise. In the midst of these profound happenings, praise. Don't forget, it's a journey. Journey into the next level. So Judah said to his brothers, what profit is there if we kill our brother and conceal his blood? Watch this. Next verse, quickly, next verse. Come and let us sell him to the Ishmaelites and let our hand not be upon him, for he's our brother and our flesh. And his brothers listened. There's nothing praise. There's nothing that will not respond to praise. Praise is a master key. His brothers listened. That's another way of saying his enemies listened. Give yourself to praise. I love to praise God. I love to worship God. In fact, most part of my praying, I do more of ministering to the Lord before I ask for prayer, before I make prayer requests. No power has deaf ears to praise. Every situation will respond to what? To praise. You know, I haven't shared testimonies with you. By God's grace, God has used us to raise the dead. Yeah. I've seen that happen in Ivory Coast. They brought this man, 90% dead, to the crusade ground many years ago. As we were praying, the power of God hit him. He started, something started coming out of his mouth, got up, and he walked home. By the grace of God, we were doing a program in Ogbomosho and in a village, a crusade, and one boy in the village died, and there was pandemonium. And it was going to be that the time these people came to do crusade was when we lost one of the sons in the land. Went there with a group of other brethren and started praying. The Holy Ghost gave one of us direction on what to do. The boy was dead. The people were already crying. He was lifeless. And we followed that instruction. He came back to life. A few years ago in Lagos, very close to Okoko Michael, one of my spiritual sons, who's 1 year old boy, 1.5 years old or something, was ill for days, and finally he had more or less given up. He was clinically dead. They shook him, and if 1.5 year old boy can't pray, they shook him, beat him. They put one of the family members who's a nurse, put syringe in his body, was lifeless. I carried the child, his neck, his head was dangling. The mother was already in frenzy, crying all over the place. And the small clinic, they had been telling this my spiritual son, take this boy out of here. We have told you that we have referred you to teaching hospital. They were saying in local, please, and there was pandemonium everywhere. And the Lord just led us to begin to praise him. As we were praising him, 25 minutes later, he jacked back to life. The boy is alive till today. He's about 5 years old now.
Hallelujah.
Someone say praise. Praise. On this journey to the next level, don't ever forget. In the midst of profound attacks, profound enemy invasion, resort to praise. Bring Judah into the dimension. Judah is necessary. Not only Reuben. Someone say Reuben. Reuben played his role. Judah must also play his role. Praise. Everyone say praise. Hallelujah. And so they sold him. They sold him to the Ishmaelites. They got him to Egypt. And Potiphar bought him. Someone say Potiphar. Now praise is also an accelerator. He's a catalyst. It was Judah who said, let's sell him. When Reuben came back and didn't find the boy, he started crying. Reuben did well. Everybody say Reuben did well. Yeah, but excessive Reubenic intervention would have taken the boy back to square one. Would have taken the boy back to square one. Hallelujah. So please, sometimes God gives deliverance, but sometimes there are situations that God will say, I won't deliver you, I want you to go through it. So you can get to your next level. Can I hear amen? Amen. And then he got to Potiphar. Everybody say Potiphar. What does Potiphar represent in this check post? On our journey to the next level, God will bring you to Potiphar's house where you will receive training. Somebody say training. You receive what? Training. Let me tell you all that Joseph learned in Potiphar's house. He prepared for the palace. He was there, he understood administration. He was there. See, if you don't train, you won't reign. If you don't train, you won't reign. Success is not a product of accident. You must train for something. So you can reign for something. Sir, all those 11 years or 12 years he spent in Potiphar's house, roughly 12 years, he spent in Potiphar's house. That's why I look at people, they just come, They are transiting in church. Transit. Settle down. Tell your neighbor, say, settle down. I'll finish now. Say, tell your neighbor, say, settle down. Settle down and be too taught. Let God use this man, this great servant of his, to mentor us, to tutor us, to train us, to teach us. Everyone who will get to the next level must go through Potiphar's house. Potiphar here is symbolic of training, mentorship, tutelage. That was where Joseph understood how to do human resource management. That's where he understood temperament. That was why later on when his brothers saw him, instead of them weeping, he was the one weeping. Read it. Am I right? He was the one weeping. He said, come, I will nourish you. You meant it for evil, but God turned it for good. He repaid them good for the evil they did. And the repayment was 100 times. He did them so much good. Even when they were saying, hey, if our father dies, this man will take revenge on us. Joseph said, am I God that I should revenge? He started crying again for them thinking that he would take revenge. He started weeping. Read your Bible. He was a broken man. He was a man with a heart of God. He had gone through training in Potiphar's house. How they lied against him. They blackmailed him. And nobody to fight his case. He absorbed it. Training. How to do the payroll. How to manage human resource. How to manage material. How to manage money. In Potiphar's house, he learned everything. Training. You must go through your Potiphar's house. Some of you want to circumvent and say, no, no, I don't need all that. You need it. Sometimes you may not even like Potiphar, but you have no choice. You must train. You must be mentored. I thank God you are in. This is your own Potiphar's house. Training. Please play the keyboard for me, brother. Play strings. We're going to pray now. And then, watch this. I have put everything under Potiphar's house as training. Where you'll be blacklisted, where you absorb things, they will do things to you, you will still absorb it. Then he went to the prison where he, as a result of his betrayal, who betrayed him? Who betrayed him? Potiphar's wife. Betrayers. He said, sir, on my journey to the next level, will I experience betrayers? Yes. Betrayers. And then you meet your butler. Butler. Everybody say butler. Butler. You meet butlers. Everybody say butler. Butler. You see that in 41 of Genesis. Everybody will meet his butler. You see that in 40 and 41. Butler. Who are butlers? On your journey to the next level, butlers are people that God will raise to give you recommendations. They are the ones that will be instrumental. They'll be the ones to introduce you, to bring you to limelight. Nobody gets to limelight by himself. An angel will not come and bring you and impose you to limelight. You need who? Butlers. You need butlers. And who are these butlers? Butlers are those that you have solved problems for them. They will come from people that you have been a solution provider to them. Butlers can be member of the congregation who has been fed through the word, who has been ministered through my ministration, through your pastor's ministration. Butlers are those who recommend you. E.g., John the Baptist was more like a butler to Jesus He was the one who said, "Behold the Lamb of God that taketh away the sin of the world." Hurdles that Jesus will have need to cross. Credibility would have need to build over years. He just rode on his shoulder. On John the Baptist's shoulder. Straight away, he recommended him. Thousands of people were there. He just gave a recommendation. He said, "This is he that will baptize with the Holy Ghost and fire. He will increase. I will decrease." When a man like John the Baptist, who is well respected all over Israel, is now saying that, "Look, you haven't seen anything. You think I'm something. Check out this man." He helped Jesus to cover 10 years of hardship. Am I making sense here? Say, "Father, raise butlers for me in the name of Jesus Christ." People that will give you platform, opportunities. People that will market your product. People that will connect you. People that will introduce you. People that will say good things about you before those who matter. Butlers, stand on your feet. You don't want to stand again. Stand on your feet. Have you been blessed tonight? How many are going to the next?